Hello and welcome to Global Focus. I'm Laura Angela Bagnetto. We have two West Africa stories for you today, both affecting the ocean and the people who depend on it. In Liberia this week, the government has put out a new executive order that will have the inshore exclusion zone, which is the area that is reserved for Liberian fisher people, from 6 nautical miles to just 3 nautical miles, causing a blow to some 33,000 Liberians who rely on fishing as their livelihood. We spoke to Steve Trent, the director of the London-based Environmental Justice Foundation, which works in Liberia. He says the effect of this new executive order will be devastating.
We think it's a big mistake, and we can be very clear about that, because the situation here is you have hundreds of thousands of people, many communities that depend on that fisheries resource, not for quality of life, but for survival. It's their basic source of protein, it's their livelihood, their employment. And by cutting that inshore exclusion zone, the government is threatening the well-being of those communities. If the fish are not fished sustainably, then we can see in a relatively short period of time the resource declining and depleting. It's true to say that that will lead to many different problems and potentially even conflict, which in a country like Liberia, which has in the recent past experienced serious conflict, we just feel that this is a critical mistake, probably born from a misunderstanding of how best to manage that really very valuable resource.
So you're saying that this decision to cut the inshore exclusion zone from 6 nautical miles to 3 nautical miles will affect more than just the fisher people who depend on the sea?
Absolutely, because you know, this resource in a country like Liberia, where you can find a very high percentage of the population, 50% and more, are critically dependent upon fish as a primary source of protein. If you do not have a sustainable management system, one that makes sure that this incredible resource will keep on giving, then you can find people are literally suffering, but health impacts, employment impacts, food security there is still very fragile. And this resource is central to that food security. We work with local communities in Liberia and we talk with them on a daily basis. Indeed, we are there with them right now as we speak. And they are devastated and they're also angry. They're upset. This is simple to explain. It's the equivalent of taking away somebody's job and somebody's ability to feed themselves and their family almost, or at least that's what it threatens. And so these local communities are really anxious about it. They are preparing messages to send to government, asking for them to reconsider.
Up next, did you know that small-scale fisher people along the coast of West Africa, in an effort to compete with European, Chinese, and Moroccan industrial trawlers who are taking all the fish, have increased tenfold to keep up with the competition? We spoke to Dihia Belhabib, scientist and lead author of a study by the Sea Around Us Project that shows that artisanal fisheries have become less efficient because fisher people have to go out farther, but are using more energy to get less fish in return.
For the first time, we can compare apples to apples, if you will, because usually we used to compare the number of boats within the artisanal sector to the number of boats within the industrial sector. So that what it meant was that there were too many boats within the artisanal sector. And so we talked about overcapacity, we talked about them chasing too few fish, but when we look at their efficiency, the amount of energy that they actually spent, even if they grew so big, they don't have the same impact on fish and the ecosystem as the Europeans, the Chinese do. So I think this is very important because for the first time we can see this impact and we can compare it to the impact of the industrial fleet.
Couldn't you say that based on your calculations that this is a lose-lose situation for West Africa and for their own fisher people?
Yes. It is. It is definitely a lose-lose because they are losing, their efficiency is low and they're losing the catch every year, every day, basically. They're going further to catch less fish. They're spending much more energy, more money. The costs are increasing. So it's not a good thing for them. But for them, it's a way of compensating for what they're losing. So unless we deal with the big elephant in the room, which is the foreign fleet, even when flagged to the African waters, we cannot necessarily address this situation. We have to deal with that big elephant first and then address the situation. There will be more fish available for these fishermen within their own waters if we deal with the situation of the industrial fleet being there. So it is a lose-lose for them, obviously. Fishermen often, like, this paper really reflects the reality where fishermen often tell me that they have to go further, they have to spend more time at sea, and they have to invest in bigger boats. This is what it means as well, because they don't have the choice.
The EU Fisheries Commission, it really favors the fisher people and does not look at the residential impacts. That there is also a problem with the bigger fleets using the smaller whitefish as bait, which also impacts on the local fishermen because a lot of what they catch are the smaller fish that other people use as bait.
Yeah, there's definitely an overlap between what they catch, whether as bait or what they discard as bycatch, with the artisanal fleet. So what it means is that they do catch, not only for bait, that's actually a small proportion. The biggest proportion is the bycatch they discard back to the water. But both are overlapping with what the Senegalese, the Ghanaian, all the fleets that go a little bit further, like the Cote d'Ivoire fleet. So many of these countries, there is a very strong overlap between what the Europeans, the Chinese, even the Russians actually target and use as bait or discard, and what these people catch to eat. So it is very dangerous. It's threatening food security, and it has resulted in the last few years, at least in Senegal, in 100 deaths in collisions with big vessels because of the targeting of small species and overlapping areas.
Have you presented this to the European Union, at least to the Fisheries Commission, or are you going to be sending this data over?
I would say kind of. So basically, I work a lot with the countries themselves in West Africa as opposed to the European Commission. As you might know, it's a big machine, and it's not very easy because even if the EU decides to do something or have regulations, its member states don't necessarily abide by these regulations. An example of that is that recently we found that Spain, Portugal, and Italy had private agreements with the Gambia, a small country of West Africa, while they still had a dormant fishing agreement. So when the EU has a fishing agreement with any country, its member states are not allowed to have private agreements with that specific country. So Spain, Portugal, and Italy clearly did not abide by the regulation. Actually, they violated it. So even if I wanted to work with the EU directly or had the opportunity to do that, which I would be really happy to, it would be really difficult to address the other issues. So instead, I work with the countries within West Africa because they need the information. They need to be working on this angle themselves, and that's what I have been doing for the last 7 years. It has had some really good fruits.
When you're dealing with the governments in West Africa, does that also help them to formulate treaties and laws? Does that really help them in negotiation?
Yes. So I can give you a very good example. A few years ago, when Senegal was negotiating the latest agreement with the EU, there were a whole number of species on the table to negotiate for, to have the agreement. You know that the EU didn't have any agreement since 2006, and so it was very important for them to go back to Senegal. It was very important for Senegal to get something that's actually sustainable. And so the CALPA, which is the artisanal association, it's a big organization within West Africa that's based in Senegal, and Coalition for Fair Fisheries Agreement sent me a request saying, do we have actually a surplus? What can we say? Can the Europeans just come and take the whitefish, so that's the demersal species, etc.? And I did a simple analysis that showed that they did not have that surplus for the EU to go and chase. And so that analysis really helped them on the table refuse any sort of access to any other species except for tuna, which basically falls under the International Commission for the Conservation of Atlantic Tunas. But it really is a good example where when they have the information, when they have the data, They have the strength to negotiate against any unsustainable regulation or agreement, etc. And this has really given its good fruits in Senegal at that time.
That's all the time we have today for Global Focus. I'm Laura Angela Bagneto. I hope you enjoyed our look at fishing in West Africa. Thanks for joining us.